Well, the government is promising more help for media organisations struggling with massive revenue losses due to COVID-19. Yesterday, Broadcasting and Communications Minister Chris Farfoy announced a $50 million support package, including scrapping transmission fees for broadcasters for 6 months and cutting New Zealand on air levies. There's also an $11 million fund set aside for targeted assistance to media companies. Since the COVID crisis began, Bauer Media has folded, with the loss of 237 jobs from the country's major magazine titles, including The Listener and North and South. NZME, which owns the New Zealand Herald and Newstalk ZB, has cut up to 200 jobs, about 15% of its workforce. MediaWorks, that owns NewsHub, has asked staff to take a 15% wage cut, as has Stuff, which is now asking readers and users for donations to help keep it afloat. We'll hear from Stuff's Chief Executive, Sinead Boucher, shortly. But first, the Broadcasting and Communications Minister, Chris Farfoy, who says yesterday's funding is an adrenaline hit for the media and is promising more in the May budget. Minister Morena, and welcome.
Good morning, Catherine.
What is it designed to do in the short term?
Some certainty in cash flow, certainly through the foregoing of transmission fees and the discussions that we'll be having with the likes of Stuff and NZME about that $11.1 million pot of money within the $50 million envelope. When we spoke to most of the media organisations a couple of weeks ago, like every other sector, cash flow is an issue. This is the first of two packages. And what we're trying to achieve here is to make sure that we can get some certainty in the short to medium term and some cash flow where the government can.
Nearly half appears to be heading straight to the broadcasters with the savings on the likes of transmission fees, for example. Is there enough in there to help the non-broadcast arm?
I think there is, and that's based on the conversations, again, that we had with them a couple of weeks ago. It's obviously transmission costs are high by the nature of broadcasting and the fees that have been charged in the past. The common theme through the likes of print organisations was cash flow through what the government could do to bring forward government advertising spend, and that's the kind of conversation that we'll be having with those entities in the coming week. To make sure that we sit down with each one of them. They're all in different positions to make sure we can offer the cash flow, but also make sure that there's prudent spending of taxpayer money as well, because, as I say, each one is in a different position.
How long do you think a fund of $11 million might last in the current climate? Some of these organisations have lost up to 90% of their revenue, and that was already under pressure.
Yeah, look, it's short term. I think I made pretty clear yesterday that when I spoke to the chief executives, when I spoke to them yesterday morning, that while it's helpful, it's in no means going to be the complete antidote to the issues within the sector, which, to be fair, were there before COVID as well. But certainly I think in terms of the second package, the media sector and the government need to sit down to figure out what sustainable media looks like in the future, and importantly for the government, what supporting public interest journalism looks like in the future, because I think if you look at the number of journalists that we've lost because of the lack of sustainability of the advertising business model, we need to do something about that, because I think we've suffered as a result with the likes of regional and local journalism and types of journalism around the country.
What's on the table then for that second package? What are you already thinking about?
Yeah, look, we gave a pretty big nod yesterday in the announcement to the expansion of what is called the local democracy reporting pilot, which has been underway for the last 12 months, actually been administered by Radio New Zealand. So that's seen, I think, just under close to 10, maybe a few less than that, regional reporters being funded around the country to ensure things like local councils, local bodies, DHBs, are being reported on, because we were noticing that there was a lack of that accountability, certainly at the local level. We think that needs to have a real enhancement, not necessarily in the way that it's administered at the moment, but I think some heft needs to be put into that, and then discussions about how that might be able to fit into the media market as it is now. And how either new things can come about it from it, or we can help that to support journalism capacity in already existing media companies. Other things we're obviously going to be looking at is we've already got our Treasury officials talking with their counterparts across the Tasman about their moves around Google and Facebook and advertising revenue. So we're going to have a good look at that. I think having Australia and New Zealand working in tandem will be useful. And then there's obviously other things that have been asked by media companies, things like regulation of the market. Some of that we can control, obviously, because around laws. But as you would know, Catherine, some of the decisions that are made by owners of entities we can't control. And as I said yesterday, we have to be nimble as a government to move to whatever might happen in the private market as well.
What are you alluding to there? We've obviously got some large, privately owned, overseas owned companies, and they are heading in a brutal direction. What regulation are you being asked about?
Some of the discussions that I've had have been commercially sensitive. If things were to move swiftly and the government might be asked to step in, then we'd be operating on a case-by-case basis, but that's not making any judgment. The principles that we are riding by in terms of what we want to do to support media plurality, the voices in the market, supporting jobs and obviously supporting the important function of journalism in our country.
Step in to do what?
Well, it depends on what the situation would be, Catherine. There are hypotheticals floating around, but no one has come to us at the moment. But as I say, we have to be nimble. There's obviously been one talk of a merger in previous years, and if that were to come back on the table, I'm trying to preempt the question, we'd have to look at what exactly the situation would be in front of us, because as is in most sectors, we need to be pragmatic in this COVID world that we're living in at the moment.
So might you just work around the Commerce Commission process, bypass it?
I'm not going to preempt what we might do, but what I'd say is if someone arrived with a situation on our desk, we wouldn't ignore it. We'd look at it from every angle to make sure the kind of principles that we are driving by are met as best possible.
Is there any appetite for a further state investment in currently private sector media or aspects thereof, at least in the short term?
Well, that might happen around some of our conversations around the likes of the local democracy reporting initiative, Catherine. But I think at this stage, there's the $15 million package that we announced yesterday. Both state-owned, like TVNZ, who obviously operate and run on revenue, advertising revenue, and the likes of other private media companies will be able to access that. People will have their opinions about that, but ensuring that we have a viable and sustainable media in the short term is extremely important, especially at a time like this. But we're under no illusions that the media sector wasn't in a great state of health before COVID. Like every other sector, it's worse now. And the job now after the $50 million injection yesterday is to now look to medium and long-term viability for journalism and media for New Zealand, because it is important.
Google and Facebook's share of the online advertising market is gargantuan, more than two-thirds of it, I think. Something like 30% of the online ad take goes to quote-unquote other. And included in that other are the private media companies doing critical journalism, and particularly at times like this. How closely are you looking at what Australia is moving to do? How can you make Google and Facebook pay?
Well, it helps if you've got other willing allies. And I think that certainly was an issue when talk of this was happening in the pre-COVID world. They are big multinationals. And obviously with social media platforms have the ability to get their messages out, but they certainly have had an effect, but that's the reality of our connected lives as we know right now, and they have had an impact on the advertising market. That obviously has had an impact on the traditional media market, and we are serious about looking at what the Australians are doing and working in tandem with them if that is possible. to make sure that our local media market continues to be viable. There are some changes to business models that I think are the reality for media companies. Even in a few short weeks, we've seen some companies who spurned or weren't necessarily interested in reader contributions face the reality that is what is needed now in order to try and help them continue to be viable. And I think that's going to be the reality for some media companies in the future too. So we'll take that all into account as we work towards the second package and the longer-term initiatives that we will work with the media sector itself to try and make sure we do have the kind of viability and sustainability of journalism and media in the future.
It seems unthinkable, actually, that the digital advertising market will not be a substantial part of the sustainability of these big companies. Yes to anything and everything, but they are going to need access to the digital advertising market, which is large. Are you committing now to following what Australia does if it gets a viable operation up with respect to Google and Facebook and forcing them to pay?
Look, we're taking a serious look at it. It's still early days, Catherine. It's only officials have spoken at this stage. I haven't spoken to any counterparts across the Tasman as yet because we've been trying to put these short-term package and beginning the work for the second package over the last week. I think when we get more information about the details of where the Australian government is heading, and I've got a meeting with Facebook representatives today by chance, and we'll have a discussion with them about the kinds of discussions we're going to have for the long-term viability of New Zealand's media market. We're going to take a serious look at it.
Just finally, you say that the proposed merger between RNZ or TVNZ or the new company mooted to be formed out of them is on ice. Is there any way that proposal or business case will go to Cabinet before the election, or is it now right off till after the election?
Well, we'll get the business case before the election, Catherine, and we'll look at it. I think we'll take that into consideration when we look at the wider work that needs to be done with the media sector, and then I think we'll make up our minds as to whether or not that stays on ice until after the election or whether we push ahead. You know, pre-COVID, Catherine, that was our focus, to make sure that public service media was as strong as it possibly could be and structured in it as well as it possibly could be for the long-term future. Obviously, things have changed now, and the government's focus is on the market as an entirety and working with them to make sure that the market is sustainable.
Would that affect potentially what any proposed new public broadcaster look like? Will the plan, as it may have been being worked on before this event, possibly look different as a result of this event?
You say possibly, and I think the answer is possibly, because I think that the every factor has changed. But I think the fundamentals stay the same, Catherine. We are moving to we have moved to a more digital world. I have for a long time thought, and the government has long time thought, that the way that both Radio New Zealand and Television New Zealand, as state-owned media companies, have been very focused on the worlds that they've come from, predominantly radio and television, and while they've made good moves into the digital space, having a single entity had some merits across different platforms that we may have in the future. So it possibly could change things, but I still think the fundamentals changed to ensure that we have, again, a sustainable and viable and future-proofed public service media.
Understood, but there are also private media television companies wondering what their advertising take might look like and whether they will continue to have a commercial competitor in a public broadcaster.
Yeah, and look, that fact hasn't changed pre or post-COVID, to be fair, and we'll get the business case back from PwC in about two or three months' time, and I think we'll reassess, given where the market might be at, and where it looks like it might be heading with some of the discussions we've had. But I still fundamentally believe that making sure that we future-proof public service media to be able to deal with the challenges of the future and making sure that we're getting the best value for the investment that taxpayers put into it, and that they expect the high standards, that work has to continue to be looked at.
Thank you very much for your time. The Broadcasting Communications Minister is Chris Farfoy. Listening into that is Sinead Boucher, who is the Chief Executive of Stuff. Sinead, welcome and good morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
From your company's perspective, what of yesterday's package? What was good? What was missing?
Well, I think yesterday's package was obviously very heavily skewed towards those with broadcast platforms, and I don't begrudge them any of that relief. We've certainly all felt the effects of this pandemic, but I was probably hoping for a little bit more for support for the likes of Stuff, which doesn't have a broadcast arm, but does, you know, employ journalists all over the country producing local and national news through papers and digital.
So what difference is this going to make, an $11 million contestable fund, it looks like, to deal directly with individual companies on cash flow issues? How much difference is it going to make to the situation that Stuff is in?
Well, I think that will largely depend how much of that is accessible to us, and we'll certainly be working with the ministry you know, closely on that. I think, you know, we've definitely felt that the government and, you know, others we've talked to have listened to the situation that we all find ourselves in and have asked for our contribution of ideas to help with both the short-term and the sort of longer-term issues for us. So I think, you know, out of that $11 million that is there to help out not only a company like Stuff, but all the small independent publishers, the magazine companies, plus the broadcasters as well. I think we'll all be in there hoping to get, you know, our fair share, and then, you know, hoping that's enough to get us through this short-term crisis that we're in right now, as well as help us, you know, navigate our way out of it.
What needs to be in the second tranche? As we were discussing with the Minister, these problems predated this pandemic. It has simply exacerbated them to an awful degree. There are fundamental structural problems challenging the profitability of organisations trying to do journalism. And that's going to be private business decisions to some extent, and it's also arguably going to need some kind of state intervention. What do you need to see in the second tranche?
Well, I listened very carefully to what the minister had to say there about you know, the measures they might take around Facebook and Google, or the influence of those multinational platforms. You know, some sort of action is definitely needed in that respect to give media companies a long-term future. And, you know, I think we were very heartened to see what the Australian Treasury announced earlier in the week. Besides that, I think, you know, the model for producing journalism has definitely been broken in the last few years, the traditional model. It's a global issue. And whether or not the industry on its own can come up with the right you know, formula for sustaining that, I think is doubtful without that sort of government intervention that, you know, tries to redress the playing field, make it more level for us all after the rise of the digital platforms that sort of collapsed, you know, the advertising business for everybody.
Do you believe that Australia can do what no one else has really done, which is make these absolute giants, global giants, pay for the content that they use? How would that even work? How would Stuff get its share of the pie?
Yeah, look, I haven't seen any of the detail yet as to how they would actually enforce that or what the code will say, but I definitely pick up an extremely strong will to do it, which I think is important in the first instance. This is something that the media industry has been trying to get off the ground for many years now around the world, and there have been attempts in different countries, particularly in Europe, to introduce measures, and it has been extremely hard to follow through on them without the platform sort of taking some sort of counteraction or dragging things out. So, you know, putting in the regulations is one thing, enforcing them is another, and I will be really, you know, looking to see how the Australians intend to do that.
And if it comes to any other kind of state involvement, obviously there's the issue of mergers and To be honest, Sinead, many people are dubious. They can save money in the short term. You can save some back office if you haven't already. But often they are more a commercial decision than actually necessarily going to deliver, you know, a long-term strength in the actual journalism. I'd be happy for you to comment on that if you wish. But also, is allowing that to happen still going to be fundamental to a couple of big organisations here?
Look, I do think that consolidation is inevitable in a market of our size. You know, we've got fewer than 5 million people, and we have, you know, many big organisations, the likes of Stuff, NZME, Radio New Zealand, MediaWorks, Television New Zealand. I don't think we have the population to sustain all of those entities as individuals. And, you know, there is it is a commercial decision to look at consolidation, but, you know, Stuff and NZME and MediaWorks are commercial companies trying to produce a public good through their journalism. And, you know, by you know, being able to consolidate or, you know, share back office costs, all those things, it definitely helps you strengthen the journalism there. And you need to take a commercial decision when you're a commercial company in order to be able to keep doing what you do every day.
Which brings you to the next question. The focus has been on strengthening public media through a TVNZ, RNZ merger and or, you know, complete reorganisation. But is there an argument still for public funds to be available to other established private sector operators? It's been broadened to some extent under NZ On Air. Is there still an argument, if you're really looking at plurality, to look at a different way of helping fund the private media?
Oh, I absolutely think so. And I think that, you know, New Zealand On Air has been very good in trying to look at ways to help fund journalism within its own, you know, framework. And Stuff and others certainly benefited from the types of content they've been able to fund. But I think what's needed now really is a broader way to support journalism. And, you know, the minister was right. Local journalism, regional journalism has been particularly under threat in recent years, as the sort of, you know, the advertising revenues that sustain local newspapers in particular have started to diminish. So I think we should all be concerned if journalism is a threat in the country. It, you know, the collection of news is a very important part of a healthy democracy. And I think if the government needs to look at ways to help sustain that in ways that are outside of public media, I think that is important.
Thank you, Sinead Bouchers, Chief Executive of Stuff.